Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank y'all for continuing to give us grace because we need it. Amen. Amen. We praise God for our communion. Mary did a great job. So we praise God for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're going to get ready for the word of God this morning. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Mary said it was a great day. It's a great day to me. It's cold outside, but it's a great day. It's an awesome, awesome day. Amen. And that's how it should be with us every day. We should not be swayed by the circumstances around us or the weather. I remember when the weather used to kind of I went with the weather. If it was fair, I'd go. If it was rainy, I stayed. But when you get the Lord in your heart, rain, snow, sleet, or whatever, if you can go, you go. If it's okay to go, you go. Amen. Let's pray right now. Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the words you've given me. We thank you for those that are here and those on Zoom that are ready to receive your word. Holy Spirit, I can't of my own self do nothing, but I thank you that I am never on my own, I'm never by myself, that you're with me, Jesus. And so therefore, I yield all things to you. You do what you want to do, any way you want to do it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, I was sitting, oh, I think it was Monday morning. I was sitting in my chair. And I was thinking about whether or not I wanted to go to the gym to exercise or not. And it was the easiest thing to make the decision to go to the gym. I had no reservation about going to the gym, no problem with saying yes to going to the gym. And then the thought came to me, well, why was it that I had no problem making that decision? And then the Lord revealed to me, you didn't have any problem making that decision to go to the gym because your heart had already been established to go to the gym. It had already been established. And so from that, the Lord began to give me a message for today. And so the message for today is making heart decisions. Making heart decisions. And we want to be what? We want to be able to make decisions with an established heart. So I'm going to be talking about an established heart because you need an established heart to make heart decisions. To make heart decisions. When you're making a heart decision, when you make a decision that's coming from your heart because your heart's been establishing that thing, it's not hard to do. But when your heart has not been established, it's tough. Emotional decisions don't get you there. Intellectual decisions about something don't get you there. It needs to be a heart decision. This decision needs to come from the heart. It needs to come from the heart. And the Bible talks a lot about the heart. There's a lot of things in the Word of God about the heart. And I think sometimes we don't, I've preached on the heart before, but I think that sometimes we don't pay enough attention to our heart. We pay a lot of attention to our emotions. How I feel. We pay a lot of attention to our body telling us if there's a pain somewhere or if we're not feeling well. We pay a lot of attention to that. And not often do we pay attention to our heart. And we need to tune out all of that noise, all the noise about how we feel, pain, and all that, and kind of turn ourselves to our heart and say, okay, Lord, what's in my heart? What am I feeling in my heart? What am I feeling in my heart? So where is your heart? That's a good question. Where is your heart? Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. So where is our heart? Where's your heart? Where's my heart? Where's Lonnie's heart? Where is our heart? 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says this. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So according to this scripture, we are spirit, soul, and body. We are a spirit, soul, and body. We are spirit beings that possess or have a soul, and we live in a body. There's three parts of us. The spiritual part of us is the part that's born again. Our soul is the intellectual part of us, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And our body is what everybody sees. What everybody sees. And so our soul is the connecting point between our spirit and our body. The soul is the connecting point between our spirit and our body. Your body is not the real you. When you die, you leave your body behind on this earth because it cannot go into eternity. Our body is mortal. And so our bodies have to stay here. And we have to get new bodies like Jesus. And that's going to happen one day, but we're not going to talk about that. I just want to mention that. Let's look at Mark 12:33. Mark 12:33. We still going to go to get to the part where we find out where our heart is. You know, you got a spirit, you got a soul, and you got a body. Can't see your spirit, can't see your soul, but you see your body. That soul will let you know it's there because it's your mind, your will, and your emotions. What we have to get in tune with is our spirit man. Mark 12:33 says this, and to love him, talking about God, with all the heart, with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. What I want to focus in on is that first part of that verse. We are to love God with all our heart, all our understanding, and all our strength. So what's that saying? All our heart has to do with our spirit and soul. All our understanding is our soul, and all our strength is our body. So loving God with all your strength is loving God with your body. Loving God with your understanding is loving God with your soul. And loving God with all your heart is loving God with your spirit and your soul. Our heart actually connects our spirit and our soul together. Part of your heart is in your spirit, part of your heart is in your soul. And the heart connects the spirit and the soul. The heart connects the spirit and the soul. So part of your heart is pure, it's okay because it's in your spirit. But the other part of your heart is in your soul. And that takes some attention from us. The Bible talks about a lot about the heart because it is important. The Bible talks a lot about our heart. And your whole heart is your spirit and your soul. Your whole heart is your spirit and your soul. Matthew 5:8 tells us that our hearts need to be pure because it said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 11:29 says that Jesus said about himself that he was gentle and lowly in heart. So if Jesus was gentle and lowly in heart, then we need to be the same way. Gentle and lowly in heart. These are different hearts, postures, different conditions of our heart. Matthew 6:21 and Matthew 12:34 lets us know that out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. Sometimes people will say stuff and then they say, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Well, they didn't want you to hear them say that, but they probably meant to say it because it came out of their heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the other part says, where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. What do you treasure? What do you love most? What do you spend the most of your time with? Because that's going to be determined where your heart is. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So what? Our treasure need to be Jesus. Our treasure need to be Jesus. And then if our treasure is Jesus, that's when we'll find our hearts. Ephesians 6, 5 and 6 says that our hearts should be sincere and we should do the will of God out of our hearts. We should have sincere hearts. We should not have no deception in our hearts. Our hearts should be sincere. Be sincere about what you're saying. Be sincere about what you're doing. Be sincere in how you treat people. Be sincere in your relationship. Be sincere in your interaction with people. And then the next part of that in says that what? Out of our hearts is where we serve God. The will of God, our hearts, is where and how we should serve God from. Not out of our head or our emotion, but out of our hearts. Out of our hearts. That's in Ephesians 6:6. Our spirit is the center of our being. Your spirit is the center of your being. Everybody, look at me. Your spirit is the center of your being. Your spirit is not here. Your spirit is not down on your feet or your legs. Your spirit is here. How do we know that? Because the scripture tells us that out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. So, where's our belly? Our belly is right here. Our belly is right here. And the King James Version says belly. But actually, the ESV and the New King James Version say, out of your heart shall flow rivers of living water. So our heart is right here where our belly is. And I can right now just get quiet. And on the inside, I can sense where my heart is. I can sense where my spirit is. But I just allow myself to go there. So out of our belly, out of our hearts, flows rivers of living water. That's in John 7:38. John 7:38. So that means here, out of our hearts, out of our spirit and our soul, flows living water, and it flows from our heart through our soul out in our bodies. If the Spirit of the Lord is in you, it's in your soul. If you go lay hands on somebody, they can feel the Spirit of God from you. It'll come up out of your spirit, through your soul, through your hand, when you touch somebody and pray for them. They don't always feel anything, but it can happen that way. What happens is, all of us that are born again, if you got the Spirit of God in you and you've been born again and that part of your heart is fine, but what if you have not established the soulless part of your heart? Then the soulless part of your heart will keep the Spirit of God from moving up in your soul and to your body. Suppose you want healing for your body. You got the Spirit of God in you. If you want healing for your body, really the Word of God says the Spirit that quickened Jesus, if that same spirit that quickened Jesus, if that same spirit that made Jesus' body come alive, if that spirit is in you, that same spirit will make your body alive. It'll make whatever dead on your body come alive. It will draw out disease out of your body. It will draw out arthritis and pain out of your body because that spirit of God is in you. But if your heart has not been established in the Word of God, if your heart is not where it should be, then it's in you, but you cannot let it out of you because your heart is blocking it. It has not been established in the fact that you're healed by the Word of God. It has not been established in the fact that the spirit of life is in you. So it's going to be hard for that spirit to come out of you and do what God has ordained it to do. So our heart being established is important. So our whole heart consists of our spirit and our soul. The part of the heart that's in the soul has to be in agreement with the heart and the spirit. That's what I meant when I said a little while ago. Your whole heart has to be in agreement. You can't have a divided heart and flow in the things of God. You cannot have a divided heart and receive what God wants you to receive. The heart has to be in agreement. Your spirit part of your heart and the soul part of your heart has to be in agreement because that's your heart. That's your whole heart. What the I've heard this. I don't know. We've all heard this. A divided kingdom cannot stand. I don't know where it is in the Bible, but a divided kingdom cannot stand. A divided heart cannot stand. A divided family can't stand. Anything divided can't stand. There's got to be unity. So there has to be unity in our heart. And that unity comes when we establish our heart in the things of God. And once our heart is established, we can make heart decisions. We can make heart decisions. Oh, excuse me. This word for heart in the Greek is also called the womb. It's called the womb. And we know the womb is where what? Where things are conceived and grow and give birth. The womb is where things are conceived. And they grows and give birth. Like my water, Lonnie. Thank you. Got a tickle in my throat. So this word heart in the Greek is also called the womb. This is where things are conceived and grow and give birth. It's your heart. Your heart is where you conceive your healing. It's your heart where you conceive everything. My heart had already conceived the fact that I was going to the gym. It was in my heart. It had been conceived. And so to make that decision was not hard. Your soul heart needs to be established in what your spirit heart already knows. Y'all get that? Your soul part of your heart needs to be established in what your spirit heart already knows. Your spirit already knows, but your soul don't. That's why we got to renew our minds. We need to renew our minds with the word of God so that soul can be established. And it takes the word of God to establish that. Look at Psalms 112:8. And see what David said about the heart. Psalms 112:8. Yes, he did say that, Mary. Psalms 112:8. David said this in Psalms 112:8. He said, his heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees the desire upon his enemies. His heart is established. And we're going to see in some places David said established, but he also said fixed. So David said, my heart is established. My heart is so established that I won't be afraid. I'm not afraid of my enemies. I'm not afraid of what my enemies might do to me. Because what? My heart is established in the fact that God is with me and I trust him and I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid because my heart is established. And so David's heart was established, and he was not afraid of his enemies. Established or fixed means is a verb meaning to set up, to make firm, to establish, to prepare. So David's heart was prepared. It was firm. It was established. David's heart was fixed. It was firm. And he had prepared his heart where? In the scriptures. He read the scriptures that he had at that time. And it was also prepared and established because what? Of his relationship and his history with God. He knew he had the victory. Remember, David killed the lion. David killed the bear. David killed Goliath. And David said, my heart's been established. God kept me. He blessed me to kill the lion. He blessed me to kill the bear. He blessed me to kill Goliath. So now my heart is established. My heart is fixed on the fact that I have victory in God, and my enemy is not going to take me down. God said I was going to be king, and I will be king. I believe in the God that told me all this and that helped me. And so my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. We need to be like David. We need to fix our heart on the things of God. We need to fix our heart on the things of God. David was a man after God's own heart. And David said this. This is what Mary was saying about a while ago. Let's look at Psalms 57, 7. We're going to do Psalms 57, 7, Psalms 108, 1, and Psalms 112, 6, 7, and 8. We're going to see what some more stuff about what David said about having a fixed heart. Psalms 108, 1. Oh God, my God, oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praises even with my glory. Oh God, my heart is fixed, and I will sing and give praise. Even with my glory. So David's heart was fixed on the Lord. He was fixed on the fact he's going to sing. He's going to give praise unto God. Psalms 112, 6 says this. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. The next verse. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. Trusting in God. It's a great thing to have a fixed heart on the Lord. Get your heart fixed. When our heart is fixed, we're not a double-minded man like James talked about. Fix your heart on the word. Fix your heart on what God said. Fix your heart on trusting God. We're so quick to fix our heart on other things. And that's natural because that's things we grew up with or things we've had to do over and over again and we've had to depend on. But there need to come a time when we need to get off of all of that and fix our heart on the Lord. When our heart is fixed and established on the Lord, the first thing that comes to our mind is going to be the Lord. It's going to be the Word. It's going to be the Word. If we fix our heart on the Word of God, that's the first thing that's going to come up. Then the eighth verse says this. The seventh verse in one Psalms 112 is David saying his heart is fixed. And then the next verse says, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desires upon his enemies. So that fix your heart and establish your heart is interchangeable. Our heart needs to be established. Our heart needs to be fixed so we can make heart decisions. It takes a word from God, a revelation from him to establish or fix our hearts. Donna Ricky, you trim me down a little bit. It takes a word from God, a revelation from him to establish or fix our hearts. Only the word of God can establish our hearts. Only the word of God can fix our hearts, my Lord. And it also takes what? Intentionality. Because it's not something that happens automatically. We wish it did, don't we? But it's not automatic. We got to read the word of God. We got to intentionally establish our heart. We got to intentionally fix our hearts on the word. Intentionally put our hearts and our mind toward the Lord. We got to be intentional about it. We got to be intentional about it. How did God tell Joshua to establish his heart? Let's go to Joshua 1, 5 through 9. How did God tell Joshua to establish his heart? You know, we can learn a lot from the other saints of God in the Bible. We can learn a lot about how God dealt with different ones in the Bible, different leaders and different people. We can learn from them, and the Bible tells us we ought to learn from them. Joshua 1, 5, and 9, 5 through 9. So how did God tell Joshua to establish his heart? Verse 5 says, God told Joshua this. And now think, Joshua had the book of Moses. He had everything that Moses had told him. And Moses wrote that down before he passed away. And Moses died before Joshua took over leadership. So Moses wrote Genesis. So Joshua had Genesis, and then Joshua wrote the book of Joshua. And so he could go back and read what Moses had written. That was his scripture. But then God spoke to him. So I want you to keep that in mind, because when he told Joshua not that the book of law was what Moses had written down. Joshua 1:5, no man shall be able to stand before you. That's what God told Joshua, all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Hebrew tells us that about in the Hebrews, doesn't it, in the New Testament, that God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I don't know about you, but that has established my heart in the fact that God is always with me. It has established my heart in knowing that God will never leave me. No matter what happens, no matter how weak I get or what I do, God will not leave me, because he said he wouldn't. He would never leave us nor forsake us. And that's what he told Joshua here. So our heart should be established in the fact that God is always with us. You're never going to do so bad he leaves you. You're never going to act so ugly that God is not with you. He's going to be there. He's going to be there. He's going to be there helping us what? To change that action. He's going to be there helping us to get out of that, whatever it is. So Joshua's heart was fixed on the fact and established in the fact that God said he would never leave him or forsake him. And also he said what? No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, Joshua. And he said, be strong, the next verse, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Be strong, Joshua. Be courageous. God was establishing Joshua's heart. He was establishing his heart. So he would be strong. He would be courageous. You would cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. And they did inherit the land. They did inherit that land. Next verse. Only be strong and very courageous. God said it again. He's establishing Joshua's heart. He's establishing his heart. He's causing Joshua's heart to be strong and causing Joshua to be courageous. Being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. And Joshua remembered some, and Moses wrote some down. And then he said, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. God is establishing Joshua's heart. Joshua, be careful to do everything according to the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it, Joshua. From to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. God is establishing Joshua's heart. He's establishing his heart. Next verse. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. God is establishing Joshua's heart. Joshua, don't you depart from, let this book depart from your mouth. Don't let this law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, Joshua. No matter what you're doing, meditate on it. Meditate on the word of God. We got to meditate the word of God. Joshua, meditate on this word. Meditate on this law day and night. And then once you meditate on it, Joshua, be careful to do it. Be careful to do it. What did James tells us? Don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a doer. Same thing God is telling Joshua. Joshua, don't just meditate on it now, day and night, but I want you to meditate on it so you can do it. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. But Joshua, before any of that can happen, you got to establish your heart. You got to establish your heart. Because once you establish your heart, Joshua, making decisions will be easy, because the decision will be coming from your heart, not with lip service, not out of your mind, but it will be coming directly out of your heart. That's what God was doing, causing Joshua's heart to be established. How was Abraham's heart established? God established Abraham's heart too. Genesis 17:4 and 8. Genesis 17, 4 and 8. God told this to Abraham in order to establish Abraham's heart in the promises of God. Verse 4, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. Next verse, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. Isn't it worthy to note this? God didn't say you will be. God said, I have made. I have made. Not that you will be Abraham, but I have made you already a father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offsprings after you. Next verse. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojourning, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God was establishing Abraham's heart. Abraham, you're going to be the father of nations. Abraham didn't even have one child yet. When God said that to Abraham, he had no children. But God was establishing his heart. Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of nations. I'm going to give you a possession to you and your children. That's what I'm going to do, Abraham. And Abraham's heart got established in what God said. And so then for Abraham, decisions could be heart decisions, not mind decisions, not maybe decisions, not emotional decisions, but Abraham could make heart decisions. Heart decisions. There's one decision Abraham made, it wasn't a heart decision, wasn't it? It was an emotional decision. It didn't come from his heart, it came from his emotion. God was kind of late for Isaac. Well, it took about 20 some years, 25 years, I think, before the time God told Abraham this and the time Abraham and Sarah had a child. And I guess Sarah was Sarah, but she's not guessing it. Sarah got impatient. And it was her idea for Abraham to go into her maid and have a child, Ishmael. And that's what he did. But he did it because his wife told him to do it. You know, it ain't always good to listen to the other spouse, man or woman. You know, it's not always good. You best get your heart established in the Word of God and hear God. Abraham should have went to God and said, God, Sarah said I ought to go into Hagar. God, what do you say about this? Well, he didn't do that, did he? He just listened to what Sarah said. And Sarah was wrong. She was wrong. Because God was establishing what? Abraham's heart. Sarah's heart hadn't got established yet. The word of God was coming to Abraham, so his heart was being established. So they should have went with what God had put in Abraham's heart, not what came to Sarah's mind. So your heart needs to be established in the things of God. In the things of God. In the things of God. And I can look back on my marriage and see sometimes when I thought me and my husband were making decisions, my mind was one way, and I look at it now, and it wasn't too long after I looked at it. It wasn't God, it was what I wanted. But my husband's heart was established. He was what God said. We were getting ready to move, and there were times when my heart was established, and I went with what God said. He went with me. But this particular time, I was working in Cary. We were living in Saratoga. Had a long ways to drive. Took me an hour and something, hour and 20 minutes to get there. And so I wanted to move so I wouldn't have to drive so far. And so we looked at a house in Wendell. And we almost moved to Wendell. I wanted to move to Wendell. Bad decision. I was just looking at not having to drive so far. But at night, my husband went to bed and he got up the next day and said, God told me not to move. We ain't moving to Wendell. You know what? I ain't said a word. I just agreed with him. I said, God, he had a dream and God showed him. then I just need to agree with him. So that's what I did. But you need to establish your heart in the Word of God. Both husband and wife need to do that. Because sometimes, if the husband is established, God will speak to him, and the wife just needs to agree. But sometimes it might be the wife that's established, and so the husband needs to agree with the wife. But we always need to what? Pray. We need to always pray. Okay, God, my wife is saying this, and is this what you're saying, God? Or God, my husband is saying this. Is this what you're saying, God? But we need to get our hearts established. Both parties need hearts need to be established in the Word of God. And once your heart gets established in the Word of God, then you can make heart decisions, not emotional decisions. Sarah made an emotional decision. She was tired of folks talking about not having a child, so she wanted a child she could call her own. We need to make heart decisions. And in order to do that, our heart needs to be established in the Word of God. Let's look at Hebrews 13, 9. Hebrews 13, 9. Our hearts also need to be established by grace. Hebrews 13, 9 says this. Hebrews 13, 9. I'm going to read it in the ESV and the New King James Version. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrine. It's all kind of doctrines out here. So, but the Word of God said, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrine, different strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with food, which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. So what I want to concentrate on in this verse is, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not by some strange doctrine, not by food, but established by grace. Our hearts need to be established by grace. Our hearts need to be made firm and sure and stable and firm by the grace of God. Let the grace of God establish your heart. Let the grace of God establish your heart. Let's look and see what the ESV says. Same verse, 13:9, different translation. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teaching. What is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. One says established, one says strengthened. Both same thing, good things. What is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by food, which have not benefited those devoted to them. Food strengthens our body. Food does not strengthen our heart. Food strengthens your physical heart, but the difference between your physical heart and your spiritual heart. There's a difference. There's a difference. This verse says it's good that we establish or make our hearts firm and sure by grace, the enabling ability of God. What is grace? Grace is God's favor, but it's also his enabling ability. Establish your heart in the grace of God. That enabling ability that we need, what? To live out this Christian life. This, the ability we need to do the things that we've called to do, the ability to fulfill the purpose God has on us, our lives, the ability to be a good husband, the ability to be a good wife, the ability to be a good leader, the ability to be good parents. It all comes from the grace of God. And if we establish our hearts in the grace of God, we'll be able to do those things. Grace enables us to be a good employee, to be a good manager or whatever in the company. We need the grace of God. Establish your heart in the grace of God. That grace of God enables you. It enables me to do what God has said do. God never called us to do something that he has not given us the ability to do. But we need to establish our hearts in it by grace. We need to establish our hearts. Knowing God's ways keeps us from going astray in our hearts. Hebrews 3:10. Let's look at that. We're getting ready to close. Hebrews 3:10. So establishing our hearts help us make heart decisions. That's what I want you to get today. Establishing your heart helps you make heart decisions. If you're taking notes, you can write it down. But establishing your heart helps you make heart decisions. Hebrews 3:10, therefore I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways. So knowing God's ways helps us, keeps us from going astray in our hearts. You got to know God. If you know God, you won't go astray in your heart. If you don't know, if you know God is not the one bringing on what destruction, if you know God's not the one making you sick, and you've established yourself in the Word of God, you've known God's ways, you've established in your heart that God does not make people sick, He heals people. If you've done that, then you are able to receive your healing. But if you think God made you sick because He's mad with you, and that's what's in your heart, you're not going to be able to receive your healing. You got to get all that junk out and establish your heart in who God really is, and then you can receive your healing. So establish your heart. Read and meditate the scriptures. Remember and rehearse to yourself all that God has said. Remember and speak His promises. Remember and speak the promises of God. Establish your heart with all that God is. Praise Him. Worship Him. Pray in tongues. All that establishes your heart. Always have a tender and pure heart and not an unbelieving heart. Keep your heart from deception and hardness by being obedient and believing the Word of God. Make Jesus the treasure of your heart. Establish your heart in the love of God. If you establish your heart, you'll be able to make decisions from your heart. You'll be able to make heart decisions. We want to make heart decisions, don't we? We want to make heart decisions. It's heart decisions that cause things to happen. It's heart decisions that make living for God, living with God easier. I'm not going to say living for God because we're living with God. Living with Him easier once you establish your heart. But once you get your heart established, you can make heart decisions. And then we can be walking in agreement with God because what? Our hearts agree with Him. Our hearts agree with His heart. And when your heart agrees with God's heart, two can walk together when they agree. The Bible said, how can two walk together when they don't agree? You can't. You're going this way, you know, it's hard. But if once we bring our hearts in agreement with God and have our hearts established by the Word of God, then we can walk in agreement with God and we can make decisions from our heart, not from our emotions, not from how we feel, not from what somebody else says, not from the TV news or whatever somebody's saying. But we can make our decisions. We can make heart decisions once we've established our heart with the Word of God. Amen. Let's stand. So learn how to make heart decisions by establishing your heart with the Word of God. Get that heart established in the Word. Get that heart strengthened by the Word. Have a pure heart. Have a pure heart. Allow the Word of God to wash your heart from all ungodliness and all things that are not of God, so that our hearts can be pure and sincere and established in the things of God. That's how we can make heart decisions or make decisions from our heart. Once our hearts have been established, then we can do that. Father God, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for blessing us and letting us know how to establish our hearts in you and in your word. God, we thank you because we want to make decisions from our heart. We want to make heart decisions. We want to make heart decisions. Decisions from our heart where our heart is in agreement with you, God. Where our heart has been washed from all hardness and all deception and all unsincerity, God. Where our heart follows after you, Lord. Where it's easy because our heart is in agreement with your heart. So, God, we ask you today to bring us into agreement, God. Bring our hearts into the place where our hearts agree with your heart. When we can walk out this life, walking in agreement with you, walking as one with you from our hearts. God, we say thank you. Thank you that you've given us a heart, God. And thank you that our heart, in our hearts, God, we're born again. And God, we thank you that in our heart, Father God, that parts in our soul, God, we're able to cleanse it by the word of God. And we're able to strengthen it, God, and establish it, God, with your word. And so, God, today we say thank you. We say thank you. Thank you for a heart like yours, God. Give us a heart like yours. Give us a heart like yours. Give us a heart like yours. Not a heart like the world. Not a heart like somebody else. But give us a heart like yours. If our heart is like your heart, God, we can make heart decisions. God, we say thank you. We give you all the glory, all the praise, and we magnify your name. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to help us, God. Help us, Lord, to understand every word we heard today. Everything you've given us, God, help us to understand it, God. Help us to receive it, God. Help us to be a doer of it, God. In the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for grace, that enabling ability, that enabling power, God, you've given us to walk this life out with you. And Father God, we say thank you. We pray for healing for all those that might not be feeling well today. We speak healing to every person's body. We speak healing to every person's soul. We speak healing to every emotion today, God. We speak healing to every person's mind today, God, in the name of Jesus. Let hands and arms and limbs work the way they're supposed to. Let legs work the way they're supposed to, God. Let our mind think the way it's supposed to, God. Let our mouth talk and speak the way it's supposed to, God. And our ears hear the way they're supposed to hear, God. And Lord, we say thank you for a sound body, a sound mind, in the name of Jesus. And a born-again spirit, God, we thank you for that. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We magnify your name. And God, we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Are there any prayer requests? Let me stop the thing.